In September, we made initial awards. There were some protests that occurred. In looking at the protests and reviewing them, the government decided to take corrective action. So rather than respond directly to the protests, we're doing corrective action at this time. We currently have a goal of starting SEWP 5 on May 1st. We extended the SEWP 4 contracts through April 30th so that we get through this corrective action, which would then result in a new set of selections and awards and announcements, and hopefully that will be it.
I think this is the first time SEWP ever got protested, so I know this is new territory for you. Let's move over to SEWP 4. You talked about the extension to April 30th. What's the latest with SEWP 4? Seems like that's still humming along pretty well.
We were originally supposed to end SEWP 4 last year, and we actually had made some plans to kind of transition certain program stuff over and do some other things with SEWP 5. When we realized that SEWP 5 was going to have to wait and extend SEWP 4, we've decided rather to sit back. We actually are being as aggressive as we can with our program, working with our agencies, working with our industry, and we've actually had a really good past year. Over $3 billion in orders last year, and we're actually currently about 20% ahead of last year in terms of numbers. So despite the fact that we're in this transition period of sort of unknownness, very happy that we still see this strong usage, which I think speaks well to what we're providing our government customers.
Talk a little bit about what you're seeing. Top agencies, average order, can you just kind of give us some of the basics?
Our average order size actually has been increasing. It's actually a nice little piece of good news because that means people are using us not just to buy one item here or there, but more strategically. So we're reaching close to 120,000 as our average order size. We used to be at the beginning of SEWP 4, 70,000 or so. So that's quite an increase. That translates into about 25,000 orders a year. So we're also very busy, which is good, and lets us make sure that we're hitting a lot of agencies and customers.
Top agencies, DOD is still the top, and then followed by whom?
So yes, DOD, they have the most money. They are our top customer. Veterans Affairs is our second biggest customer. We're very proud of supporting those two key agencies in the government. And then every agency does make use of us, though. So it's the entire suite of cabinet-level agencies. NASA, of course, is in the top 10. Department of Justice, Department of Commerce, and again, any other agency has at least used us to some extent.
Heading into 2015, you're going to make a second set of news here. In October, you talked about lowering the fee to use SEWP to, I think, 0.4%. And now you're going to lower it again. Talk about that decision.
We were going to, at the beginning of SEWP 5, start at actually 0.39% and include the price of the fee in the product price. We just had a meeting with our SEWP 4 contract holders and got them to agree to add the fee to their line item pricing. And in so doing, we'll be able to lower our fee to 0.39% starting in March. So that hopefully continue to decrease the cost of the government for using us.
And when you say that when it's going to be included in the line item, so if I'm buying a laptop for $1,000, that 0.39% fee will be part of that $1,000 price that if I'm an agency, that's what I see. Is that correct?
That's correct. While it's nice to show people that there's a fee, and we will continue to show them that when they do the order, we'll give them a report back showing they've paid us something. We find that it's very confusing to have a separate line item and how to calculate it and so on. Take that out of the equation, just put it on industry to include it and pay it out of the price of the product.
The ability to lower fees, this is something you guys have done consistently throughout the life of the SEWP umbrella contract, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. What goes into that decision to say we can lower the fee? Do you look at total revenue and your total costs? And it's a fairly straightforward math decision.
We're very fortunate at NASA that the decision was made when we started the SEWP program to make it independent financially so that we don't take any money from NASA. So we're not part of NASA's budget and we don't give anything back to NASA's budget. So it makes my equation very simple. It's a nonprofit to make enough money to run the program, and if I make too much money, I lower the fee. If I make too little, I'll probably won't raise the fee ever. I've never done that. I would just find ways to adjust the budget. But it's a straightforward, yes, how much comes in based on how much we need to run the program.
One thing that you're planning for with SEWP 5 was some major changes in terms of using data, more services to your agency customers. Whether or not SEWP 5 gets awarded and done by May, it doesn't seem to matter. You guys are going forward with a lot of those innovations. Starting in March, you plan a series of innovations. Let's go through each of them and talk a little bit about what they mean and how they're going to impact your agency customers.
The main overall driver to what we're doing beginning in March is to try to be more of a leader in terms of giving information and giving assistance to our agency level partners, so that we're not just dealing with going off and buying a single piece of IT equipment, but how can we provide information about what's being bought, how it meets things like EPEAT compliance, information about the products that are being bought by an agency, so they don't have to do it themselves, that we can go to them and just give them a report. Here's what you did last year. Here's how you met EP compliance. Here's how you met Energy Star compliance. Here's how you did this. So whatever their policies are, we can collect that data and give it back to them. And in terms of efficiency, it's all automated. We found a way to, I wasn't willing to do that until I could do it in an efficient way. And now we have that, we've come up with a system that will essentially allow that to just work on its own.
One of the most interesting things about these changes is giving agencies the data in a way that makes decisions are easier. Talk a little bit about, for instance, socioeconomic labeling of the contractors, or talk a little bit about if there's an agency-specific product, how are you going to highlight those different features of SOUP to make agency decision-making that much easier?
So the second part is really a key part of what we're allowing agencies to do. If an agency wants to come to us and say, we have printers, and we have these types of printers that we want our agencies to buy, and we don't want them to buy other types. Well, we can set up our contracts to show, to label those printers, even as they're updated, so that if a customer from that agency comes in and gets a quote, we'll note on that quote, this is approved or this is not approved. Or if there's a situation where an agency has a set of requirements in terms of security and you can only buy certain products because they have a certain level of security, well, we can mark those for that agency, and then the customer can see that at the quote level. Or we also have web pages that we customize for each agency that they can say, these are our rules. So we're not a one-size, you all have to fit us. We're a we'll fit you program. What does that agency need? We'll fit to what they need.
Now, at the same time, you're also going to pull the data out that's going to help you understand where people are buying, what's popular, what's maybe not so popular. And then that also can help make product decisions in terms of how the dynamic product catalog. Talk a little bit about how that's going to work as well.
Most of that information I see being used for giving to the CIOs. For a long time, we took the view of not collecting the data for the CIOs and realized that they need that help because many agencies just don't have it in their systems to collect. We found a way to categorize our products so we can say this many laptops or this many printers were purchased by your agency. How much did they meet a certain policy? How many were bought that were tagged as being approved by you versus having to go get a waiver? So we can give that to the CIO so they can make better decisions. Again, we don't want to make decisions for people. We just want to give them the information so they can then come back and use us in the best way.
The other big change is around supply chain management. There's been a lot of focus both from the Obama administration and in industry about counterfeit products or tainted products. You guys are actually going down the path there to make it easier so agencies can understand is who they're buying it from and if they're a trusted source or not. Talk a little bit about that effort. And you guys actually are working with DOD on this too.
We're part of a standards group called Open Group, and DOD actually initiated this activity with Open Group. They're an international standards committee that we've gone together with industry to build a standard to mitigate the risk against counterfeit and tainting of products through a certification and accreditation process. And that just recently was announced, and we're working on improving that process now. From the SOUP point of view, and more specifically, we recognize that one of the areas that we can help is letting our customers know if they're buying from an authorized reseller, an unauthorized reseller, hopefully not, or if they're buying from a trusted source but maybe not authorized. There's different levels of authorization, and we'll show that if they're accredited, for example, with this Open Group standard, we can show that also and say this is not only they're authorized but they're accredited in this manner. And again, not to make a decision for the customer, but to give them the ability to do a risk mitigation decision. Sometimes when you're dealing with a low system and security and you just want to buy a power cord, is it going to matter if it costs half the amount and it's not authorized? Maybe the customer doesn't care. If it's going to be for a major system, it's going to go on the space station, we're probably going to want it to be from an authorized reseller and really care about that, and that risk will be mitigated by showing ahead of time, this is what you're dealing with this customer.
There's been a lot of, as I mentioned, discussion around supply chain. What made you go in this direction? Was it just the participation with the Open Standards Group, or is there a call from your customer saying, how do we know that this is a trusted seller of this product?
A little of both. And I'll also say Open Group kind of pushed me into it without realizing how important it was going to be. They kept saying, you got to be a part of this. And when I realized what was going on, I said, yeah, they're right. This is something we can play in. And then I recognized that our customers asked us, and actually builds in closely with what NIST is doing and talking about risk mitigation and melds well with that. And I've been to many of their meetings and talked there too. So it's just an obvious place that we can help our customers. And I also help them to understand you can't get 100% assurance, but you need to do a risk decision making. Is this important? When somebody comes to us and says, I want to buy a product from company XYZ and I see it much cheaper over on another contract, I want to be able to tell them, yes, here's why. It's authorized here. It's not authorized here. Make your decision based on that.
All of this talks about innovation, and all of this seems to be pointing in that direction that you are continually innovating. How much are these changes that are coming up in March 2015, where is that going to push you guys? Is that a one step or is that three steps?
I hesitate to say this because some people might think it's kind of weird to say, but it can take up to 10 years to do something that's innovative, and I think sometimes we expect it to happen right away. So, for example, a lot of what's happening right now in March is not because I decided in February or last year or even 2 years ago, but many years ago I started looking at how can we do better do product classification, what's out there. We tried numerous things, and they didn't work well. We tried using the UNSPEC UN version. It just doesn't cover the situation. We kept waiting for either industry or somebody to help us find that answer. So yes, it's a big step. It's not because it was it just happened. It's been incremental through the years, and I already have, as my staff well knows, a list of 100 or so new things that will be coming down the road that will take a year or years in some cases and to come to fruition. But when they do, we'll have tested them out different ways and made sure that they're workable.